The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Yes, and today I'm the fumble-fingered host. Sorry for the late start of the show, but I actually disconnected the guests right before the interview. So, with that being said, with no further ado, you've been waiting patiently for the blueprint for a proper vegan diet. Later in the show, we're going to have Adele, Professor Dr. Andro, talking about, is your body set for obesity? We're going to be discussing the realities of set points. Do they exist? And if so, what can be done about them? But first, I have Mike Mahler and Ori Hofmeckler. Mike, you there?
Yes, sir.
And Ori, are you there?
I'm certainly here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Two geniuses on the show at the same time. I could actually unplug my microphone and these two guys could do the show and no one would ever miss me. We're going to be talking about the proper way to construct a vegan diet. I want to say something. I have to do a mea culpa. I've bashed the vegan diet on the show because there's a caveat here. Most people do the vegan diet wrong. Oprah Winfrey promotes a vegan diet. Lots of people promote a vegan diet. And I say it's the wrong vegan diet because they do not take into consideration getting the complete array of macro and micronutrients, which takes intelligence and it takes effort to do right. These two guys know how to do it right. If you truly are committed to learn to be a vegan, for whatever reason, you want to save animals or you just don't seem to do well with animal protein, there is a way to do the vegan diet correctly where you can sustain your life and even thrive, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's start off, first of all, with Mike. Mike, you shared something with me that actually David Wilson corrected me once on Facebook. You have been a vegan for how long?
Coming on 17 years now.
Okay. Why did you become a vegan, first of all?
Well, I became a vegetarian first when I was 14, and I cut out all meats except fish. And
What's the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, basically, a vegetarian could mean there's so many different variations. It could mean you still eat fish, but you don't eat other forms of meat. It could mean you eat dairy and eggs, like a lacto-ovo vegetarian, which is what I believe Ori is.
Yes.
And for my mom is one as well. She's a lifelong, basically, lacto-ovo vegetarian. And then vegan basically means you don't take any animal products or byproducts, so even honey or milk, any kind of dairy product, eggs, any kind of animal byproduct would also be out. And I'm in it strictly for the animal welfare issues. It's not because I feel that there's some edge or that there's some superior performance benefits. I got into it for the animal welfare issues. And what got me towards veganism is that some people go, well, what's wrong with dairy? What's wrong with eggs? You're not really killing any animals. And technically that's true, but you're still supporting the suffering of animals. And what I mean by that is when, for example, a cow can no longer produce milk, what do you think happens? They put that cow down.
Right.
What do you think happens to the males? They get sold off to be put down for beef, for meat, et cetera. Same thing with chickens. And then what I'm really against more than anything else is factory farming. And this is where I'm
Bingo.
Really...
Bingo.
This is where I'm willing to meet meat eaters halfway. Like, I'm not a guy where, like, if you and I went out to dinner, Carl, I'm not going to sit there and give you a hard time while you're eating your steak about the horrors of suffering for animals and so forth. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm very respectful, and people are very respectful to me as well. But factory farming, I think, is something that we can all agree on that is bad for everyone involved.
Yes.
Terrible for the animals. They have miserable lives.
And I was going to say that.
Terrible for you if you eat that animals, because I always tell people this. You're going to eat an animal that's totally unhealthy, that's on all kinds of drugs and antibiotics, and you think you're actually going to be healthy doing that?
Right.
So it's just that you're delusional. So I always tell people, even if you could care less about the animal, if you care about you and your family, you want the healthiest animal possible. You want them to have the best life possible. You want them to have the best diet possible, because that's only going to work in your favor.
Well, you know what's interesting? The Werner Gren Foundation, which... The Werner Gren Foundation, they invest a lot of money in Paleolithic studies, especially in anthropological looks at food that the paleo individuals ate. And Leslie Aiello is the head of this organization, and she had a quiet conversation with me on the phone once. She won't come on the show. She's retiring. She told me that it's impossible to eat paleo in this day and age because the quality of food is just so poor. And which comes to what you're talking about. There are people out there who may want to become vegan or vegetarians because even if they don't feel bad about animals, they realize that the quality of animal produce that's coming to them is not worthy of consumption. Now, tell me about you, Ori. You are a lacto-ovo vegan, yes. Is that correct? So you yes. eat eggs and you eat, I know you eat whey protein, you drink milk and all that sort of stuff.
I eat dairy, I eat eggs, and I eat fish. The reason I eat fish, I still don't feel sorry enough for the fish.
Yeah.
If I do, I'll stop eating fish too.
So it really does. So for you, it's also a spiritual issue. You said feel sorry. This comes to spirituality in order to be empathetic for animals. You feel yes. like you're doing harm to these animals.
Yeah, I cannot eat any mammal. I simply cannot eat any mammal or a bird. I just can't. I had some occasion. Is there not enough time here? But there was a switch. It took time. But there are other reasons. I wrote about it in my books. I clearly try to prove now, especially in my new book, that when you look at evolution biology, and there are great men like Clifford Jolly, who wrote The Seed Eaters, Alan Walker, genius anthropologist and evolution biologist, Kay Anderson, they all agree these are giant people who publish amazing papers. And what you can see, and I'll try to be very short, that about 1,000,075 years ago, 1,750,000 years ago, all the fossil evidence show that the first human-like creature just raised up on two legs. And when that mutation happened, it's called bipedalism. We started to walk on two legs. Amazing other evolutionary changes happen. There was increase in the brain, twice increase in testosterone. We have two genetic mutations that increase our testosterone. And as our brain and skull increase on the back skull, there was a decrease in the anterior teeth and the molars. And more than that, there was a decrease in the jaw and the development of a very special cheek teeth. In fact, we are all predators. We can kill, and yes, we can eat meat, but we are the only predator who have this special cheek teeth with a wear, flat tear, a flat wear. No other predator in the world has it. Clifford Jolly clearly proved that all this evolution in the cheek teeth and the jaw and the decrease of the anterior teeth and the elimination, almost total elimination of the molars, show that there was a clear shift toward a very specific diet. And this specific diet, especially based on the jaw and the cheek teeth, show that our staple food was primarily hard object with an oval shape. In other words, nuts and seeds. The primary habitat of humans, we can't ignore it, was open grassland. We move out from the woodland into open grassland. We still live in woodlands, our early ancestor, but we move into an open grassland. That's even before the Paleolithic period. So, yes, human could hunt, but was not the staple food. The staple food was plant greens, sprouted grains, which are actually seeds, but mostly seeded nuts, which are also less perishable, but admit it, mostly like tree nuts, seeds of trees, and even seeds of tubers. And this is almost non-deniable. You cannot deny evolution, but there are other reasons. When you look at the early evolution of, which in my opinion, the Paleolithic diet clearly ignored this fact, nutrition for human, for survival, had to be not just intelligent, needed a special strategy. And that strategy kept going until a few hundred years ago. It's called tactical nutrition. That means you carry with you only food which is non-perishable. You can even read about it in the Bible when the son of Israel moved to Egypt. What do they bring to Pharaoh? Not meat, not nothing else, nuts and seeds. That's what they bring to Pharaoh. He had the wheat. they bring the nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds are non-perishable. They can survive under sun condition way over 2 years. Every other food, especially meat, fish, and everything else, is very perishable. So if you depend on perishable food, the human species will not even survive. Last argument, beside the evolution, when you look at the essential nutrients that we really need, essential, that means nutrients that we must put in our bodies because you cannot produce it by yourself. So virtually all the vitamins, vitamin C, all the B vitamins, okay, and most of the antioxidants are actually coming from plant food. They're not coming from animal food. So unless you eat animal food raw, you do not get these nutrients. Final. In today's world, virtually all meat are not eaten raw. They're eating cooked.
Right.
We are talking about the habitual way of modern men. Once you cook the protein, you immediately destroy essential amino acid, very key amino acid, or the sulfur container, cysteine, which is very important, and lysine. Basically, all cooked meat is a deficient protein. It can even compare to raw protein. Yes, there are other good animal food, like I believe in whey protein. I believe that dairy have amazing record. I think that eggs, like the poached, could be a good alternative.
Right.
However, meat, everything that involves killing a mammal, it's almost like a karma.
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Right.
So we got already a very few reasons to see that there was a shift. And here's my point. There was a shift already 1.75 million years ago towards vegetarianism. Here's the last thing. When you look at other hominoids, and I think many supposed to be Paleolithic people are doing a mistake. We are Homo sapiens. We are not other hominoid. Hominoid are creatures which are resemble like human, but they're not human. They're usually creatures that look like monkeys, but they're not really monkeys also. They are intermediate, in between. Size of chimpanzees. They have a smaller skull, and they have big teeth and molars. So apparently our early ancestor most likely was a meat eater. Yes, baboons can eat meat better than humans. And it also reflects social status and everything else. We shifted away from these big teeth. We shifted away from walking on two. We are the highest testosterone species with the biggest brain and a small anterior teeth. There is no question that we shifted away from meat eating into vegetarianism.
Okay. All right. We have to take a commercial break. So we've established the fact that we are prepared to eat a vegan or vegetarian diet, but doing so willy-nilly and not paying attention to getting everything you need in your vegan or vegetarian diet is a curse. That's why many people can't do it for long, and they definitely don't thrive on it. We're going to be giving you the secrets today. If you decide you want to eat vegan or vegetarian, so that you can thrive as well. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if you're organs are important to you, buy N2Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Iron Mag Labs, a sponsor of Superhuman Radio. Iron Mag Labs is holding a 4-month body transformation challenge. They're giving away over $6,000 in cash and prizes. And you know what the best part is? They don't care if you're a man, woman, bodybuilder, non-bodybuilder. What they're looking for is the greatest, most dramatic body transformation over a 12-week period. So you can be really overweight and still be somewhat overweight and still win if the transformation that you undergo is greater than that of the other contestants. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Sign, check out the banner ad. It'll say, join their body transformation challenge for 2011. My guests, Ori Hofmeckler and Mike Mahler, I'm sorry. And, we're talking about the blueprint for the vegan diet. There has to be an intelligent process put into a vegan or vegetarian diet if you want to sustain life at it. Mike, first of all, let's start with you. You use certain types of proteins that you know have more complete amino acid profiles. You just don't go at this and say, okay, I'm not eating animal proteins, period. Everything else is what I'm eating. You're very systematic on what you choose, right?
Yes, I am. And let me just basically give an overview of the common mistakes that most vegans make and then basically how I correct those with myself and where I started and where I got here. Basically, the common mistakes most vegans make and why the vegan diet gets a lot of criticism, and a lot of it is really valid because I've been to conferences where there's a lot of vegans and most of them look extremely unhealthy. And most people who meet me and I tell them that I've been on a vegan diet for 17 years, they just can't believe it because they go, your skin looks good, you're strong, you're healthy, you've got good energy. There's no way you're on a vegan diet. They just can't buy it. And they don't realize that when you have everything in balance, you can make it work. But the common mistakes that most vegans make is this. They give up meat, and they try to continue that meat-eating philosophy in the sense that instead of eating a steak, now they're eating a fake steak. Instead of eating a hamburger, now they're eating a processed veggie burger. And so what they're doing is basically trading one style for another. But the problem is their whole diet is then comprised of processed crap. You're not giving yourself anything that nourishes your body. It's loaded with soy, it's loaded with gluten, it's loaded with stuff like that, which is just terrible for you. So it's no surprise to me that a lot of vegans feel like crap, because what they're eating is nothing that's going to sustain you and allow you to thrive. And there was a lady that was on, I think it was Dr. Oz, who talked about, she's written this book now about being a vegan, and I have a lot of respect for her because she's coming from compassion. She really cares about animals and so forth, so I really respect that. But her execution is completely erroneous. It's all fake cheese, fake meat, soy milk, almond milk, all this crap with a lot of sugar and artificial ingredients and so forth. So that's the mistake a lot of vegans make. And then they have way too much carbohydrates from stuff like pasta, rice, not enough protein, and not enough fat. In fact, a lot of them will say, oh, you don't need protein, you don't need fat, just do this. And that's ridiculous. You know, I've talked to vegans before who will just basically smirk when I talk about protein and say, oh, you can get all the protein you need from a cucumber. And that's just ridiculous. I go, look, buddy, this is the reason why you look like you and I look like I do. Okay, it's because I realize that you can't get all the protein you need from a cucumber. And so what I do is completely different. I focus on real food. And when I say real vegan food, I mean stuff like what my mom grew up with, what they eat in India, what I grew up with from my mom making vegetarian food for us, is lots of legumes, lots of nuts and seeds. The combination of legumes, nuts, and seeds equals a complete protein that actually has a very nice balance of protein, fat, and low glycemic carbohydrates. Now, a lot of the Paleolithic people are very harsh on legumes because of the lectins and so forth. And the lectins can be neutralized from sprouting and then the way you prepare legumes. And also, if you're healthy and you have low inflammation, you can neutralize lectins anyway. Lectins are only an issue when you have a lot of inflammation, your GI tract is already compromised. Then you're going to have a problem with something like lectins. And there's lectins in all foods, not just vegetarian food. But you can neutralize the lectins in legumes without too much of an issue. So I'm not one of these. There's a lot of criticism of legumes, which I think is erroneous, because legumes like black beans and pinto beans and garbanzo beans, they're not in the same family as soy in terms of a lot of the negatives. And even soy, if you focus on something like natto, which is fermented and sprouted, that actually is not anywhere near as bad as the other soys. It actually has a lot of benefits and it digests well, assuming that you don't have any kind of food sensitivity. But I don't do soy at all just because I think there's too many different problems with soy, and I also don't feel that it's a necessary part of the vegan diet. And then when it comes to protein powder, I like a combination of pea protein, rice protein. I also like some raw protein powders like hemp and Brazil nuts. And this is something
I've never, I eat Brazil nuts for their selenium content. I never even knew there was a Brazil nut protein out there.
Yeah, there is. And I like to have a lot of variety. And this is another mistake a lot of vegans make, is they basically learn how to make one or two meals and then they eat that every damn day for the rest of their life. And that's not going to work. You need more variety. Like, I don't eat the same legumes every day. Like, for example, on Monday, I may have mung beans and pumpkin seeds. Really good combination. On Tuesday, I'll have black beans and pistachios. You know, Wednesday, I'll have garbanzo beans and almonds. So you see where I don't eat the same meal 2 days in a row. I have a lot of different variety.
What's the magic in pea protein? Is it a complete amino acid profile?
Well, what I like about pea protein is very comparable to whey, okay, in terms of the arginine and the branched-chain amino acids, the glutamine. So of all the vegetarian protein powders, pea protein, in my opinion, is the best. But I like to combine it with other things, because if you take any one protein too much for a long time, you will develop a sensitivity response to it.
Really?
And that's what we see with blood testing and so forth. Like over at Mark Phillippe's gym, his wife Tracy does a lot of vitamin mineral analysis as well as sensitivity analysis. And she found that every single MMA fighter who came in there, and it's a lot of pretty well-known MMA fighters, I can't mention names because of confidentiality type agreements, but the best MMA fighters in Vegas, they go train with Mark because he's the best out there. And his wife is incredible, and she's really well knowledgeable with nutrition. And she found that every single one of them had high sensitivity to whey protein. And it's not because they're having 20, 30 grams of whey protein per day. I mean, these are guys that are taking 100, 150 grams of whey protein every day. So when you take that massive amount of the same protein day in, day out, you're inevitably going to develop a sensitivity to it.
And what are these sensitivities? What are these sensitivities present?
Protein all day long, I mix things up.
Mike, what do these sensitivities present themselves as? Is like allergic reactions? Because I use 150.
Basically, it's going to be like this. Basically, your blood is producing an immune response, which increases inflammation. Your body is treating that food as a foreign invader, and there's going to be an aggressive immune response, which is going to end with a lot of inflammation. Now, a couple things about this. A lot of people say you need to eliminate those foods forever. That I don't agree with. The reason why, it's more that your GI tract is unhealthy, and that's why you're having a hard time with the foods, rather than those foods in particular are causing GI tract health. So, for example, these people, I do think that a lot of people overconsume whey, no question about that. And I'm not against milk from a health standpoint, or eggs, or even some meats for that matter, because I think a good whey protein is an exceptional product. And under the right circumstances, I would consume a whey protein. Like if I had a cow as a pet or a chicken, I wouldn't have a problem drinking raw milk or eating eggs. I wouldn't have a problem at all. So I think those are all very powerful foods. For me, I don't consume it for the reasons I stated already, the ethical reasons. But back to the GI tract health, we have unhealthy GI tracts, not necessarily from stuff like raw milk and eggs and things like that. It's from all the stress we're under. It's from all the drugs people take. It's from all the mental stress people have, all the processed garbage people eat. It's from eating all the wrong foods for years after years after years that compromises your GI tract so much that even foods that are healthy for you are now an issue. So it's not something that you have to eliminate for the rest of your life, but you may need to eliminate it for a little while, a couple of months, and then take stuff that heals your GI tract, and then you'll find you can actually introduce a lot of the culprits that you had issues with. Some foods you may need to cut out forever just because maybe your GI tract is so far gone, it's going to take a long time to get it back on track. But a lot of things you'll be able to introduce back in. So one thing like a guy like Dr. Eric Serrano does, and Dr. Eric Serrano is definitely not a fan of the vegan diet. He's very harsh on it. But what's interesting is that his protein product that he designed is a combination of pea protein and rice protein. And he basically found the very same things that I just mentioned, is that a lot of his clients that were consuming a lot of whey or milk-based proteins day in and day out inevitably developed a sensitivity to it, and that he found that introducing the pea protein with rice was a good way to cycle it in. So some people like to cycle proteins a lot. So, for example, one month you do pea protein, next month you do whey, next month you do rice. Or it could be a different protein per day. Like, for example, you could have pea protein on Monday, rice protein on Tuesday, Brazil nuts on Wednesday. So the key here is you got to have a lot of variety. And this is something I've talked to Dr. Peter Rouse about. And as you know, Dr. Peter Rouse is not a fan.
Yeah, he's not a fan of the vegan diet.
But he does
believe
in variety, and that's what's important.
Let's do this. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to give Ari a chance to explain his approach to the lacto-ovo-vegan. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're giving you the blueprint for the vegan diet. If you really do want to try a vegan diet, you have to apply some intelligence, as was just exposed in this last segment, and how Mike Mahler approaches his vegan diet. Now we're going to let Ari Hofmeckler weigh in when we come back from this break. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been
been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLer.com. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 25% off when you buy your peptides at opresource.net. Use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5, and save a ridiculously 25% off their already low, low prices. My guests, Ori Hofmeckler and Mike Mahler, we're talking about constructing an intelligent vegan diet. Okay, Ori, you listened to what Mike had to say in the last segment, and especially as it relates to the overuse of whey protein. I know you're a huge fan of whey protein. Construct for me the vegan or vegetarian diet that you adhere to.
My diet, and I try to prove it in my books, is based on combination of plant food and certain animal food, especially dairy, eggs, and fish, but with a lot of emphasis on the vegetarian part. Another emphasis is to keep the diet alkaline. If there's enough time here or maybe another show, I would love to talk to you about the effect of metabolic acidosis as part of the biggest problem of the current diet, that it's based mostly on acid-forming food, how important it is to keep the alkaline diet. However, let me refer to what Mike said. First of all, I totally agree about the food combinations. I mean, the combination of legumes and seeds, phenomenally good, proven effective historically. Spartans, which were meat eaters, were mostly lacto-vegetarian, and so are the Romans. They didn't eat meat during war campaign. It was rare. It was very difficult to carry cows with you. The Romans tried to do it, but it wasn't effective. So they wrote a lot about lacto-vegetarianism, as even veganism. So the shift between barley, legumes, and seeds was already there. However, I would argue the stuff regarding rotating whey protein and why people develop allergy. I'm writing right now a report. I'm doing it voluntarily. I want people to really know the truth because I'm producing whey. So I know all the dirty secrets which are happening right now.
And your whey protein comes from grass-fed cows, by the way.
It's grass-fed cow, pasture-fed cows, derived from raw milk. It's free of chemicals. And let me just tell you quickly, because there's not enough time on that one. I can prove you that the vast majority of whey today are degraded and damaged and polluted with chemical detergent, because they are so damaged they are not water soluble, they have a nasty aftertaste. So the manufacturer now, I instantize, make them water soluble with chemical detergent that you basically have been used in soap manufacturing, shampoos manufacturing. I'm talking about propylene glycol, polyascorbate 80, and more. Basically, you are consuming a damaged protein that was derived from pasteurized milk. That means the amino acids are damaged, acid treated many times, so nothing is left from the acid treatment. The heat treatment destroyed the fragile molecular bond of key amino acids like cysteine or lysine. And then, because it's so not water soluble and damaged, they polluted it with chemical detergent or surfactant, petrochemical surfactant, to make it water soluble. And then that is instantized on the bed of GMO soy lecithin, low-grade soy lecithin. That's what you find everywhere. And not including the concern of heavy metal, which this stuff is basically polluted and contaminated with. No wonder why people get allergy to that. I mean, this is bad stuff. In the best case, you can clean the bathroom with, but you shouldn't put it in your body. I mean, I did an experiment. I gave some typical whey protein to my cats and dogs. We save dogs and cats. Let me tell you, the animal refused to touch it. I can tell you right now that most whey protein are below the standard of pet food. Another reason why, Mike is right, we need to do rotation if we eat the wrong food. If we eat whole food, clean out of chemical, I don't think we need to be concerned that much about the rotation. Rotation should come naturally on over season, but I can prove you historically that some of the greatest people on earth, coming from small farms like the Spartan, the Greek, and the Romans, did not metabolically rotate food unless the season changed. So over a period of 3 months, they used to eat more or less the same food, and including small villages in India, like garbanzo bean, for example, could be staple food all year round. And certain kind of grains, like millet or quinoa, serve Indians with no allergic reaction at all. I mean, but when you start to isolate protein out of a legume, when you start to create a food which is not whole, most likely you develop allergy. You know what's the main reason why people suffer from egg allergies to eggs?
No, what is it? What is it? What is it?
Eating egg whites. Eating egg whites is the worst thing you can do to your body. You cannot eat egg whites. First of all, it's deficient protein. It's very low in leucine.
So wait. When you say eating egg whites, you mean eating egg whites by themselves without the yolk. You don't mean
correct.
Eating, okay.
That's correct.
Right. I don't want people to start throwing their egg whites away and just eating the yolk. You mean?
I agree with Ori completely on that. I mean, the whole egg, there's so many anabolic benefits from the whole egg taken together. I mean, you have to think about it. Why is it even made that way? Of course, you're meant to eat the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you something else. If you can get fertilized chicken eggs that are laid in the presence of a rooster, two things occur. There's a higher degree of natural lecithin, and there's a higher degree of follistatin, and follistatin is the inhibitor of myostatin.
Myostatin, right.
I totally agree. In fact, we did some studies with some scientists on the Hebrew University. You know what is the follistatin? It's the blastula of the egg yolk.
Right.
And in fact, the fertile eggs, I totally agree. I mean, it's one of the only male food. It has XY chromosomes.
Right.
All the other eggs, the sterile, it's just the feminine food. It's X chromosome. We need to know what is male food, what is feminine food. And I agree with Mike on the vegetarian diet. You can find a lot of male food. I doubt it if you can find it so much on the meat area. For example, I did a research about the amount of estrogen, the female hormone, in meat. Do you know that a pork meal in the muscle, not in the fat, in the muscle, have twice, sometimes five times more estrogen than a cow, than a healthy cow? It is hard to believe this, but this is it. So the meat today, because of the way that are treated, partly stress, high cortisol in human and animal could promote decreased testosterone and elevated estrogen.
Right.
So Mike is right about this part too. But meat today is very estrogenic.
I just want to say one thing on that real quick, and this is why I laugh when people throw the whole soy argument out there. And I'm not saying that I disagree with that argument. I'm saying it has some merit. But these are people that go to Safeway and get some garbage meat from a factory farm, and they've got an obvious estrogen dominance. I mean, I can look at a guy and tell you if he's estrogen dominant or not. I don't even have to look at the blood work. And you see these guys who have all this fat in their butt and legs, and they got a gut, and they've got obvious gyno. And then they're going, yeah, but don't touch soy. It's like, don't worry about soy, man. You're so far in estrogen dominance. that you're, and you're delusional about it. So there's also a cultural thing in America where if you don't eat meat, you're not considered a real man. So it's like you got to eat meat, otherwise you're not a real man type thing. My attitude is what you eat doesn't define you as a man. Who you are, what you stand up for, what you believe in, the courage to pursue your life, the goals you want in your life, the courage to not worry about what people think of you. You know, those are the things that define you as a man, not whether you eat tofu or a steak. And
right.
I think that's the problem with our culture now, is that we think that being a man means you eat a lot of meat and act like a jerk. Or it means that you just walk on eggshells around your girlfriend, or you ask her for permission before you go out the door. And I don't have respect for any of that.
Well, you got to ask all permission right. when you go in some doors. Well, forget about that. Anyway.
I don't, because I'm old school.
So okay,
this is
there
the
you
house
go.
Of Mahler that I live in.
There you go. All right,
I can tell you, when you look at the gladiators, their diet was more or less mono. I researched it too. Do you know, Mike, that mostly was barley and garbanzo beans.
Yeah, very it was cheap. Basically a vegan diet.
A very vegan diet, mostly. Sometimes they used to throw them some cheese. But I'm telling you, it was mostly vegan diet and mono, and they did very well. We know that. There are farms in Mexico, small farms, that mostly concentrated on vegan diet based on mostly pumpkin seeds, some kind of a corn grain, and cheese were available, but it was a more or less mono diet and successful. And what happened now, there's a lot of research that shows that all nuts and seeds have more male characteristic nature. Almonds, for example, there's plenty of literature to show that it actually promotes testosterone. Where meat eating can do the opposite. So we really need to be aware that veganism, if done smart with whole food, not processed, definitely without refined flour, can achieve greatly. I prefer the lacto-vegetarianism because I think that the addition of dairy and eggs and even fish simply make it easier for me to get all the amino acid and some kind of basically essential oils and vitamins that otherwise it would be difficult for me today to get from a vegan diet. I also enjoy my food better. I really love the taste of lacto-vegetarianism diet, but I respect veganism if it's done smartly.
What about
just to jump on that too, Carl, real quick.
Yeah,
and then
we have to take a break. Go ahead.
Okay. My mom, she's not going to like me saying this, but she's getting close to 80. Okay, she's in her late 70s. I sent you a photo of her.
Yeah.
I've never seen a woman who looks even close to being as good as my mom that's even close to that age. And, yeah, I'm biased, but still. How many women in their 80s look like her? Full
right.
black hair, no wrinkles at all, nothing. She's a lifelong lacto-ovo vegetarian. She has a PhD in political science, so she's extremely intelligent, in addition to the fact that she's extremely compassionate. So she basically follows a diet very similar to Ori, and it's obviously working extremely well for her. She's aging extremely gracefully, to say the least.
All right, look, we got to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to wrap this up. I want to give people the summary messages. We're talking today with Ori Hofmeckler, Mike Mahler. We're talking about constructing the appropriate vegan diet that you can actually thrive on, not just survive on. Later in the show, Adele, you know him as Professor Dr. Andro, is going to be talking about science that shows what a set point is, do they exist, and what can you do about them. We'll be right back. Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, we have about 9 minutes left in the show, okay? So let's do this. I want to let Mike go first, okay? Mike, I want to give you, let's say, 5 minutes here, and then Ori 5 minutes. What is it that you want people to take away from hearing this interview? Obviously, we've given them some pieces of information that can help them to construct a better vegan diet. But ultimately, what do you want? Do you want all people to think about being more vegan, or do you just want those people who really want to experiment with vegan to try this?
Well, this is what I always say. I'm not going to tell you that the vegan diet is going to work for you or everyone else, but what I do want people to take away is the fact that I have made it work for me, and that's just a fact. That's just proof. Anyone who's ever met me or seen any of my videos knows that. It's an indisputable fact that I've made it work for me. You don't last 17 years on something, get stronger and fitter every year, and get better as you grow older without having an optimal diet. So that's number one. Number two is, most people are vegan for compassionate reasons, which I completely respect, as that's what motivated me to do it as well. But that doesn't mean that you can just eat anything and think it's healthy that's not animal-based. So don't eat a bunch of processed crap. Focus on what a real vegan diet is. Study cultures such as the Indian vegetarian cuisine. The best-tasting vegetarian food in the world, by far, is Indian food. Delicious. I take friends to Indian restaurants all the time who are not vegetarian, but they love that kind of food. And they'll even say, if I could eat like this every day, I wouldn't have a problem being a vegetarian. So you got to find ways to make it tasty. You got to do some research. And then,
I mean, do you stay away from things like Boca burgers and all that stuff for the vegans that are in the grocery stores? Because that's
I do. I used to recommend stuff like that as a transitional food a long time ago. I used to say, well, when you're making the transition, fine. But even now, I've actually taken that statement back and said, even as transitional foods, I don't recommend it because it's not real food. It's not a real vegan diet. You're eating a bunch of processed crap. So focus on the real food options that are actually going to nourish you. The more energy you can extract from food, the better hormonal profile you're going to have. Hormone optimization is all about energy. If you don't extract enough energy from your food and then sleep and restore and exercise, you're not going to have optimal hormones no matter what supplements you take, no matter what drugs you take. You can take all the testosterone in the world. It's not going to get anywhere useful if you don't have a healthy endocrinology. So it's all about creating that optimal energy state. If your sex drive is off the chain, I mean, that's all you're thinking about every day, that's a sign that you're a healthy man. It doesn't mean that you're oversexed.
I just thought it was
a sign that you are a healthy man. If you're someone who has a very low or moderate sex drive, you're not healthy. If you think about sex once or twice a week, guess what? You're not healthy. And this is for men and women.
I thought it was I thought it meant I just had too much idle time on my hands, Mike. I didn't realize that. Ori.
If my wife were home during the day, I wouldn't get any work done.
That's funny. Ori.
So I got
a question for you, Ori.
Yeah.
What does polymorphism have to do with this? Do you think Mike polymorphically he is attuned to a vegan diet because he comes from a country where his genome developed under high influences of veganism, so he is more predisposed to be successful with that?
Real quick before he jumps in, my dad is from Montana. And he grew up eating meat his whole life, so I'm half Indian, and then I'm half white in my, so I've got both. I think I could probably go either way on the diet thing.
Okay, but that's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, what do you think about polymorphisms predisposing people
and
to being
successful?
You know
what? It's such a good question. I think it deserves a show by itself because I can talk now and now, but just about, I totally agree with you. There's cumulative evidence we are predisposed to different kind of diets. However, beyond all these differences, there is non-deniable evidence that there is a primal human diet that we cannot overlook. Yes, we are different, and some people would do better on this kind of fuel or that kind, but beyond all the differences, and that's what I want to talk right now quickly. The human diet, to which I wrote in my new book, Unlock Your Muscle Gene, is mostly vegetarian, partly based on animal food. As I said before, we are primarily adapted to cedar nuts as a staple food. So my suggestion for people is the following. Drop all the sugar, drop all processed food, especially processed and refined flours. That will never work for you. It's always a compromise. They will always screw you up for the lingo. Now, if you go to whole food only, including animal food that I prefer does not involve killing. I'm also, like Mike, very passionate about animals. So dairy food has an amazing record if it's from grass-fed, organic, including the whey. It has to be chemical-free, grass-fed from raw, and eggs and fish. If you can eat this food in the right way, what you do, you are shift now to a diet that is not just lacto-vegetarian or even vegan, if you choose to. It's a diet that promotes satiety. All the food, whole plain food, all of them, with no exception, whole, including whole sprouted grain, promotes satiety. And this is exactly the point that I want to emphasize on the last minute. Satiety-promoting food produce certain kind of peptides in the brain, certain kind of protein in the brain, that actually in favor of promoting testosterone, reducing estrogen, blocking cortisol, everything that help you get leaner, stronger, and live longer. And every time that you actually introduce yourself to a diet which is full of hunger-promoted food, such, for example, refined flours that most vegan people do now, cookies, cakes, bread, white bread, even refined rice is bad for you. What happened now, you are producing hormones that would shatter your metabolism. They will give you the tendency to gain fat. They will give you the tendency to have more estrogen, less testosterone. They will shorten your life. So that is my point. Go low on the food chain. Eat whole food. Drop all the sugar. Sugar and fructose are wrong. All faked food should be dropped to the garbage.
Right.
All fake hamburgers and fake cheese are worthless. They are chemically loaded. Human never adapted to this kind of food. You rather eat real food, even a bad food, than a fake food.
Okay.
Train your body to eat this satiety-promoting food, and you will thrive.
Okay. All right, look, Mike Mahler, plug your website, please.
My website is just mikemahler.com. And one final thing I want to say real quick is that it's important for vegans to get a good amount of fat in their diet. Don't follow some low-fat garbage diet. You're never going to have an optimal hormone profile if you follow low-fat. I get probably 55, if not 60% of my calories sometimes from fat, never lower than 40%. Also, coconut oil is critical for vegans because it's the only source of saturated fat. Saturated fat is extremely important for cholesterol conversion, for testosterone and other hormones and so forth. So coconut oil is something that you should take in abundance. I take 4 or 5 tablespoons per day, and it's loaded with medium-chain fatty acids, which your body burns extremely well for energy. It's a great oil to cook with, and it's not going to be stored as fat. So get over the whole fat phobia. I get so fed up with people talking to me about how, oh, I don't want to eat fat. It's going to make me fat. It's like, shut up, man. That is such garbage out there. And it's like Ori said, it's the sugar that's the killer. It's the sugar that's the primary cause of every disease out there, from cancer to whatever it is. It's all from inflammation. Sugar is the biggest source of inflammation. So you cut that crap out.
We're at the end of the interview. Ori, plug your website, please.
DefenseNutrition.com.
And can people get...
Or WarriorDiet.com.
WarriorDiet.com or DefenseNutrition.com. Can people get see your grass-fed...
Absolutely.
Cow, wait, okay, so they can go there and
absolutely
learn more about
go to defensenutrition.com. We are producing our own whey. It's a whey that I personally use now for over 10 years. Day by day, I have no reaction, and many of our followers. But, you know, you should try it. You can see the difference on the taste and the effect.
Sure.
Also, my wife takes Ori's protein, his whey protein, and she loves it. She can actually put a spoon in the jar and just eat it that way. That's how delicious it is.
Yeah.
So good luck finding a protein powder where you can just scoop it out of the jar and eat it.
Well, anyway, listen, I want to thank you guys for coming up and demystifying the whole vegan diet for my listeners. You know what? Maybe I'll try doing the vegan thing once a week and see how it goes for me. I want to be open-minded. I never want to be closed-minded and say, oh, no, that won't work for me. I want to be open-minded. I want to try different things. And, you know, if I can save an animal, who knows? All right, listen, Mike Mahler. And Ori Hofmeckler. Ori, we will absolutely have you back on again to talk about some of these other things we touched on. I'll email you. And Mike, you know you're going to be on again. So,
absolutely.
Guys, thanks a lot, huh?
Thank you, Carl. It was a pleasure.
Okay. All right. And stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to have our guest all the way from Germany, Adele, Professor Dr. Andro, talking about set points. Do they really exist? And if they do, what can you do about them? You're listening to Superhuman Radio because you're intelligent. We'll be right back. Most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram.
Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
50. Robbie F50. Shawty, you ain't got to take your pants off.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, I've told you time and time again how important a set of power blocks can be. This morning was one of those mornings for me. I was supposed to go to the gym. I woke up late, and then something came up that I had to be in the studio earlier. I had to crunch my time. I couldn't go to the gym, so I busted out a half-hour routine at home, just smoked my body, jumped in the shower, and was here on time thanks to my power block quick-change dumbbells. Go to powerblock.com today if you don't already have a set. Check them out. Okay, you know him. You love him. He makes my Facebook page read like one of the most sophisticated bodybuilding and fitness magazines in the world. You know him as Professor Dr. Andro. I affectionately call him Adele. How you doing, Adele?
I'm fine, and I feel honored to be back on Superhuman Radio again.
Well, you're going to be even more honored when you're on next time, I guess. Then how's that sound?
Well, sounds good.
Okay.
I've already got some ideas of topics, and maybe one or the other will come from today's show.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now, we've got a really great show today. This is really an important show. We've all said, you know, oh, I've hit a plateau. And then people will say, well, you know, the body has a set point and you've got to wait and you've got to get over it. But, you know, we say there's a set point, but do we really know that there's a set point? Is there any evidence scientifically that such a thing exists?
Well, I think the first thing we must clarify is what we understand as a set point, or as being a set point, because most people think that this is a specific weight they are genetically predisposed to hold. But the current scientific understanding is that if there is such a thing as a set point, then it's a fat set point. So it's rather a specific level of body fat that the person tries to achieve, and he tries to defend this level of body fat. So the main question is there a genetic body fat set point? And the answer, or the current answer of science, is no, there is not. Or let's say at least it's only for 5% of the obese population that the major influence factor is a genetic one. When you are searching on the internet, you will find figures ranging from 40 to 60% of variations in body weight, but what's meant by that is that 40 to 60% variation in body weight within the obese population.
Population, you got it, yeah.
The population, of course. And so this is not about becoming obese or being set to be obese by your genetics, so but you rather set yourself up to be obese by bad nutritional habits and expending too little energy due to your sedentary lifestyle.
Well, is there any chance that we actually could create a set point? Look at me. Back in 1998, I was over 300 pounds. Depending on the scale that I stepped on, I either pegged it at 310 or 320, and that's as far as it went. So when I started to lose my body fat,
yes,
I came down in almost predictable steps. I would lose 25 or 30 pounds, and then I would stick there for maybe 2 weeks. I'd get stuck there. And then
yeah,
I would, and then 2 weeks would pass. I would keep doing everything that I was doing consistently. 2 weeks would pass, and then I would start to lose weight again. Wasn't that a set point that I was stuck at for some reason?
Well, that's rather a settled point. There's a subtle difference between a set point, which would be a fixed point, and a settled point, where your body is at a certain level, and then there are metabolic adaptations taking place, which take some time. And even if you keep all the variables constant at this settling point, then all of a sudden, for example, because within these 2 weeks where you did not lose weight, you could have reduced your inflammation level dramatically, and suddenly you start losing weight again. So this is one of the major problems that, A, we do not really understand how weight loss is working yet, and, B, there is always a very unpredictable component to it. And it never turns out that you restrict your calories by, let's say, 7,000 calories per week and lose 1 kilo of fat. That doesn't work. And so I would advise everyone to stop calculating and just to try to change your lifestyle, to change your eating habits, to start training, to exercise. And as you did this morning, if you cannot go to the gym, then you train at home. This is the most important thing in losing weight, that is being consistent and always telling yourself that you are not the biggest loser, but that you are going to be the leanest winner.
Ah, I like that. The leanest winner. What about this?
Yeah, leanest winner. And it's all about, believing in yourself and what you are doing, and also in sticking to what you decided to do, and that is to change your lifestyle. You must be aware that this is not about dieting for 4 weeks or for, let's say, 3 months and then returning to your previous sedentary habits and eating junk food, because this will really make your weight bounce back to the level where it was before. And then you will again say, oh, well, that's my genetic set point. But in fact, again, you set yourself up to be obese, and not you were not set to be obese.
Well, a lot of people talk about maintenance amounts of calories, and we're going to get into the calorie thing in the next segment. But you sent me a note here that as little as 5% positive energy intake can lead someone into obesity. Over what period of time are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about years, of course. But you must think about how children grow up these days. They all take way more than the 50 to 150 kilocalories per day it takes to get obese. So this is something you need to consider as well. You've been living in affluence in years, and thus you got obese. How can you lose all this weight within one single year or even within weeks, as some diet programs will promise you?
Isn't it funny that people don't apply the same urgency to getting fat as they do getting lean? It's not like they start eating and they go, wow, I'm putting on weight. I need to get fat faster. Let me eat more. But once they decide that they want to lose weight, they want to lose weight so quickly. They don't want to lose weight in the same time span that it took to gain the weight. They want to lose it faster.
Yeah, of course. And unfortunately, our body is tuned to do it the other way around.
Right.
He is tuned to accumulate fat as fast as possible, and he is programmed to retain not only fat mass, but a total body mass as efficient as possible. Because we were not meant to be to live in a society where our greatest problem is too much food, but in a natural condition where our greatest problem was too little food.
Right.
And this is our genetic makeup, and this won't change over the next 10,000 years, I suppose.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to open up the proverbial can of worms about calories in, calories out. We're talking today with Professor Dr. Andro, or Adele, as those of us who know him like to call him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Ice, ice, baby.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate, and you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Professor Dr. Andro. We're talking about set points. Do they truly exist? I think we've kind of discussed that a little bit, but now what I want to know is, if as little as 5% positive energy intake causes obesity, are you saying that it comes back down to a calorie is a calorie and calories in, calories out is the answer here?
Well, actually, it sounds like that, but I will give you an analogy so you can better understand how the body is working. Unfortunately, this is a thermodynamic analogy, and so it would suggest that it's all about the first law of thermodynamics, but actually that's not the case. So imagine you have a house, and this house has a heating and it has an air conditioning. And this house stands in a generally very warm climate. That means that the heating is usually not necessary, but the air conditioning is working through the whole year at a high level. And now we have an analogy between the thermostat of the air conditioning and the heating and what I would like to call the adipostat. That is the equivalent of the body that measures not the temperature, but it measures via leptin how much body fat you have. And so the air conditioning of your house, it runs, imagine it runs on fat and carbs. and the heating. So if it's getting really cold, or if the body fat stores are getting really low, then the heating is turned on, and the heating runs on body tissue, that is on lean mass and even on urinary organs. So the adipose fat is set to a certain level of fat storage, and this is equivalent to a certain temperature and a certain amount of body fat. So this is basically what we've referred before to as your current settle point. And the body will try to keep the adipose fat at that level. So how can you do this? If it's winter, that is, if you are dieting, then the adipose fat will go down, because the temperature goes down, and that means fat loss. And then the body is forced to downregulate the air conditioning. That's the first thing, because you do not want to cool down the house further. This is quite obvious. So he's using less fats and carbs. This is what we refer to as metabolic shutdown or slowdown or whatever you might want to call it. But what happens if the winter is very severe? Well, or if you're dieting very hard, like a very high caloric deficit, then it's not enough to really shut down the air condition, but you also have to turn on the heating. And in this case, you are burning lean body mass. And I think all of our listeners will have heard that. You want to avoid losing muscles when you're dieting, because muscles, as you always say, is metabolic currency. And that's a matter of fact. They are healthy, and they help you burn body fat. So this is the one scenario. And in this scenario, you are down-regulating your metabolic rate, or the adipose fat is down-regulating your metabolic rate because you're dieting. And your body is very effective in doing so. Now, the other scenario is that the summer is even hotter than it usually is. And as I mentioned at the beginning, your air conditioning is already running at 90 or 95%. So these are the 5% plus energy intake you can allow yourself. The adipose fat can come up for this by increasing the workload of the air conditioning system. But if it's running at 100% all the time, then you're risking that it's breaking. And your body also recognizes that when he turns up the heat or when he fires up the metabolism, that he is running into problems. For example, if he increases lipolysis, then he increases blood triglycerides, and this is something he wants to avoid. And he will also increase heart rate, he will increase blood pressure, and these are things that in the end would harm him. So the only thing he can do is to react, although it's totally hot, by turning down the air condition again. And so in the end, you have similar conditions with overfeeding as you have with underfeeding. And that's quite a paradox, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And obviously, the source of the calories or the macronutrients that we're supplying the body have a profound effect. And I have a question for you. If as little as 5% increase in caloric intake over caloric expenditure can lead to obesity, is it possible that by choosing the proper macronutrients, let's say instead of that being carbohydrates, for instance, but instead protein and fat, is there a chance that 5% increase could become muscle? Assuming that mTOR is stimulated perhaps through adequate amounts of leucine intake with each meal.
Assuming you're training, this is certainly the case. For example, there's, in the preparation for this show, I've read an interesting study where it says that athletes who consume, I think they consumed about 300 to 400 kilocalories per day above their maintenance level, those who are the leaner athletes compared to those who consumed less than they needed every day. They had more lean mass and less body fat, although they ate more. But, of course, these were professional athletes, and they trained at least 2 hours a day. But these 5% increase, if they come from fat, and I wouldn't say they do not, it's not allowed that they come from carbohydrates, but it would be the best idea, for example, to add a protein shake with 150 calories, and these 150 calories would be the plus and you are training at the same time, then you have good chances of building lean muscle and thus decreasing your body fat percentage, although your body fat level may stay the same. But in this case, you must watch out if you are one of those guys or girls, for example, especially girls like to do this, who step on the scale every day and expect it to go down. Because if you are doing this, then of course you will weigh more every day, because muscle weighs more than fat. And if even if you were losing fat mass at the same time, chances are the scale will show higher values every day.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now let's go back for a moment to this concept that we were never really designed to have to protect against being overweight. We were designed to protect against malnutrition, or being underweight, rather. You believe that the brain is changing in obese people. Does this happen over generations, or does this happen just in one generation?
Well, interestingly, it happens within months of gaining weight, or within kilos of body fat you accumulate. And there is evidence that this is passed down to further to following generations. And it's not quite sure if it's really genetically passed down, or if this is due to the obese moms eating like they were eating when they are pregnant. Before they were pregnant, they continue their usual eating practice. So the child gets the same nutrient composition, gets the same high blood sugar levels, etc., and thus develops the same changes in brain structure.
I actually blogged about that. Mothers don't really have to gain more than 25 pounds or so during pregnancies, but yet physicians will almost beckon them to, well, gain as much weight as you want. And the reality is that having the baby form in that environment of hyper and hypoglycemic episodes in high body fat world, the baby actually is built in that way and hardwired to be fat.
Yeah, and interestingly, again, we have here an interesting paradox, because there's scientific evidence that this happens when the mother is eating too much. It's overeating, then the baby is predisposed to adiposity and or to being obese and to high blood sugar, etc., etc. But if the mother is eating too little, for example, an anorectic mother, she will have children who have also a higher risk of getting obese later in life, because even in the mother's womb, they are accustomed to saving each calorie of energy they get. And
wow.
So they are genetically programmed to be, slow metabolizers. You sometimes hear this expression. Although I do not like it, I think these babies, in fact, become slow metabolizers and thus are susceptible to obesity.
Interesting. Now, Adele, to just get off the subject gently here for a second, my mother took Valium and smoked cigarettes while she was pregnant with me. What does that predispose me to? I'm just joking. It is true. She actually did. She did take Valium and smoke cigarettes while she was pregnant with me. So that's why I'm so screwed up, I guess.
Well, just today or yesterday, I don't know, there was a recent study that connected nicotine in particular to diabetes, to type 2 diabetes. So I suppose that with a smoking mother, your chances of getting diabetic in later life are higher.
And then obviously a mother who's taking Valium during pregnancy is obviously the reason that in the 70s I was so comfortable with the drug culture, because I was
I was doing
drugs in the womb, actually. So there you go. We want to go ahead and take a break at this point in time, and when we come back, we're going to be discussing some more information, scientific information, about the set point. It sounds to me like there can be a set point once the brain reestablishes or changes, as you pointed out, and maybe we can delve a little bit deeper into that when we come back from the break. We're talking this hour with Professor Dr. Andrew. You know him, you love him. He's contributed to the success of many of my listeners. If you've never been to my Facebook page, Professor Dr. Andrew has turned my Facebook page into one of the most advanced bodybuilding and fitness magazines beyond anything out there, beyond Muscular Development, beyond any of those magazines, right at my Facebook page, thanks to him. He should be considered the author, the editor at large of my Facebook page. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. Orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get 2 of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Iron Mag Labs is having a $6,000 cash and prize giveaway for a body transformation competition. It lasts 12 weeks. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and enter. You don't have to look like a bodybuilder to win either. What they want to see is the greatest degree of transformation over 12 weeks. You may still be overweight at the end of 12 weeks, but you've lost the most weight, put on the most muscle, and you could still win. I mean, this is a really great competition. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and join their body transformation competition. I wish I would have joined years ago when I was still fat, because I look really good right now. But anyway, okay. My guest is Professor Dr. Andro. All right, so let's talk about this.
Say something concerning the competition.
Yeah, sure.
In case this is the first time you heard that it's not your set point that's holding you back. This would be the chance to change your life and to get a few bucks on that, on top of that.
I love it. I love it. This guy's a natural radio guy. Look at him, people. He's hawking for the sponsors now. What a wonderful guy. I'm going to get you your own radio show someday. Just stick with me. Anyway, okay. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the research that Ravusen did in mice that may elucidate a little bit better how the obesity habit, if you will, permeates once fatness occurs. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, actually, this is a study that re-triggered my interest in this topic. It was released on March 16 this year, so it's about 2 weeks old only. And it's a study coming from Columbia and Yale. And these scientists, they took four groups of mice. And one group was obese mice that were fed ad libitum, so they could eat as much food as they wanted, and a control group of normal mice, which were also fed ad libitum. Then there was a group of obese mice who were on a food-restricted diet, and a group of normal mice, a control group, also on food-restricted diet. And just to give you an idea how obese these mice were, they had three times the fat mass of the control group, and they weighed approximately 45% more than the control group. And the diet was a two-phase diet. Initially, they got only half the ratio of what they ate before, and this was prolonged until they lost 20% of their initial weight. And then they were returned to a reduced ratio of food, and they got about 80% of the mean ad libitum food intake they had before. So the study lasted total 183 days, that is 26 weeks, and on the next day, the poor mice, they were sacrificed. And of course, only in the interest of science, and there were pretty significant observations made in this study. So effectively, the diet reduced the body weight of these obese mice, and they got down to a normal body weight. So if you use the currently discussed measurement, that is the BMI, everybody's talking about the great BMI, of which I think it's basically worthless.
Right.
But in terms of BMI, these obese mice, by dieting, were returned to a normal or healthy state. But what's more interesting is that with the same body weight as the control group, which did not diet, they had still 90% higher fat masses. Mm. And even more interesting, their metabolism was reduced so that they expended 8% less energy. And what is also important, their weight loss or their further weight loss was impaired because of this 8% less energy, they derived less from fat stores. So not only were they still fatter than the mice who have never been obese, but they also had additional problems in losing fat mass.
It's almost like their body was I have to use the word set, unfortunately. Their body was set up to favor weight gain. In other words, the body is going, you know, we don't like where we're going. We like where we were. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to reduce the energy expenditure so that we can kind of maybe slowly get back to where we were.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that you wouldn't expect this to happen because these obese mice, they were already obese. They had so much resources to burn. So, of course, it would be prudent to use the fat stores, but that's not what happened. And even more, they were much better energy users. So the energy they got 20% less energy, but the scientists had a special way to measure how much energy they derived from this food, and what came out was that although they consumed 20% less energy, if you just calculate the energy intake in terms of food, but they derived from this only 15% less energy.
So that means that they were socking away 5% to put fat back on.
Yes, because they were using the fuel they were given so effectively.
Right. Now it's unfortunate that they had to sacrifice the mice at that point in time, because what would have been more interesting to me was to continue this protracted out to the point where their body abandoned this energy rationing in an effort to become more obese again, and see if the body would finally give up and go, okay, this is not working. Let's go ahead for the ride, and now we'll just put out all our energy. Because obviously that happens at some point. Case in point, myself.
The idea that when you hold a certain weight, that after some time your body thinks shit upon it and leaves it like that, and then you have set a new set point.
Now I have to tell you something about set points for a moment. I have a theory, and it's completely anecdotal. Most of what I'm about to say had to do with my experimenting with anabolic steroids for a long time. I believe that the body, at least my body, and other people may be different, has a 2-week window of adaptation. And in this 2-week window, if you start taking, let's say, an androgen, it will take 2 weeks before complete HPT axis disruption occurs. So, and I learned this on my own. And then when I started reading, I read Bill Roberts, who was an anabolic steroid guru way back in the day. He used to espouse doing 2-week cycles, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, because this did not disrupt the HPT axis. This 2-week adaptation window has played out in my life as it relates to my body and my physiology with everything. It takes 2 weeks for things to occur for me, either the adaptation of what I'm doing before my body abandons and says, okay, he's going this way, we've got to commit now, or the change back from something that I was doing to my homeostatic position. What do you think about that, this theory of this 2-week window?
Well, I would like to say that your theory is scientifically sound. Well, it's logic, and I think with regards to the HPTA, that might be right, but in terms of, I will call it lowering your set point, this obviously does not work, because there is a very interesting study by Rosenbaum from 2009, and this is not only a rodent study, but a study done in humans and in a very controlled setting. And there are only few studies that investigate this idea of resetting one's set point or of lowering one's set point after a diet or via a diet and then maintaining a certain body weight. And this study came out with a result that even after 1 year of weight maintenance, this downregulation of the metabolism was still in place.
Wow. Okay. All right. So obviously
on the other hand, could be the most significant finding of the Robertson study I mentioned before, because when you come up with reasons for why these mice have these problems, for why these mice spend less energy, for why they make better use of the energy they consume, and why they have a lot harder time to lose fat, then of course you think of the fact that they have less free fat mass, so they don't burn so much calories. Yeah, we know that. Then you think maybe they are leptin deficient. They weren't. They even had more leptin according to their higher fat mass. Then you come to the theory that they are somehow leptin resistant, and up until now one is not really really sure what leptin resistance is. But the new finding was that there actually were changes in their brain structure.
Really?
To be specific, in the archaeoid nucleus, that is part of the hypothalamus, there was an increase in inhibiting neurons and a decrease in excitatory neurons. So this means their brain was also programmed to spare and conserve energy. And it's not really sure how that happened, but this must have happened already when the mice became obese.
I want to interject just for a second, because I just had a brainstorm.
Yeah.
When we look at hibernating animals.
Yeah.
Like the bear and the squirrel, we know they have the ability to go long periods of time without eating, because their body becomes conservative. And
yeah.
I'm sure that there's changes in the brain that a lot of this conservatism occurs from. Is it possible? You know, there's an old saying, you can be happy and smile, or you can smile and be happy. But when we talk about neurons, there is a reverse effect. Sometimes if you do something, it primes the pump, so to speak, and and the neurons that are involved in initiating that actually activate as a result of you doing this. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible that when someone becomes so obese, the body thinks that it has called for this obesity, so the brain shifts into this conservative mode, which is designed to promote obesity.
Yeah, that is a new hypothesis. I have not come up with this myself, but it's pretty fitting, because actually what induced this state is the overfeeding, not the dieting.
Right.
Because this changes in brain structure, they were also evident in the obese mice who kept eating and eating and eating and getting more obese and more obese and more obese. So either it's a mechanism like you described it, or it's a protective mechanism, because the normal reaction would be to ramp up the metabolism, as I said, with the air conditioning example, to put the air conditioning to 150%, to 200%, to 300%, until it explodes. And this would be another mechanism underlying the changes in brain structure, that the brain structure changes just so that the metabolism cannot be upregulated anymore. And in the end, it turns out that due to the structure changes, it in fact downregulates.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, we're ready to go into the next break. Do you want to cover anything else during this segment before we go into the next segment?
Well, maybe it's quite interesting or related to what was discussed in the previous shows, that this specific area that where the structural changes happens is also responsible for the release of melanotropins. And if the listeners have listened to the episode about melanotin or the other melanotin-related peptide...
Yeah, like PT-141, so, right, exactly.
Yeah,
melanocortin, right.
This is about being tanned, this is about having sex, and this is also about endorphins and general regulation of steroidogenesis and adrenal function. So this is a very, very important region of your brain where structural changes are happening by just becoming obese.
Wow.
So bottom line, what you already want to avoid is becoming obese.
Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing. So the brain actually changes as you become obese to promote obesity.
Well, it's a paradox, but that happens here.
Yes.
It changes in a way to protect itself, or as you said, because it's preparing for hibernation, or it thinks you are preparing for hibernation, and then there is neither hibernation or the protective effects turn against you.
Okay. All right, look, we're going to do it. We're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, Professor Dr. Andrew is going to give you some practical advice. If you are obese and you're trying to lose a lot of weight, as well as from avoiding this happening in the first place. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We will be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at PrimordialPerformance.com. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and
you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net. Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, so you put on a lot of weight, and your brain doesn't want you to get any thinner. What kind of practical advice do you have for the listeners, Adele or Professor Dr. Andro, that you think that they should be aware of?
Well, I think the first thing you must be aware of is that this is going to be a long way, and it won't be solved. If you are really obese, you can't solve this problem within 2 months or 3 months or even within a year. So you do not want to take a radical approach like crash dieting or going on an 800 kilocalorie diet, because this will certainly trigger not only the changes observed in these mice, but you will lose muscle and keep all your body fat. And if you are losing weight, you will regain it within half the time it took you to lose it, and you will end up at an even higher body level. We all know this. So do never crash diet or do not binge eat. That means you do not want to eat 3 days or overeat 3 days and fast on your 800 kilocalorie diet for another 5 days and then overeat again, because this, in fact, has been shown to maybe produce weight loss, but this does reduce dramatically your metabolic rate, and it will reduce it permanently. And in the end, you cannot sustain such a way of living. Instead of that, you may want to listen again to the previous part of the show, because I think although I'm not a vegan and I would never ever give up on my steaks, the nutritional advice Ori and you, I'm sorry,
that's quite
Ori
right.
And Mike. Or Mike gave you before, it was very sound. So I can only repeat some of the key facts. That is, eat in very nutrient-dense diet, avoid processed food, eat whole foods. And one thing I'm telling everybody who's asking me for dietary advice is to stop from now on to drink any calorically dense beverages, and even juices. Juices aren't good for you. Fruits are meant to be eaten as a fruit and not to be drunken as a juice, and especially not as a juice sweetened with artificial sweeteners or with normal sugar or whatever, as most of the juices you can buy in the grocery store are. So you want to avoid that, and you want to go on a lower-carb diet. And I want to go into detail why I think even from the set point perspective, and what we've discussed before, a low-carb diet makes sense. You must remember that your body can store only about 600 kilocalories of carbs, and you will turn the rest into triglycerides in the liver, and these will either be stored as fat or oxidized by exercise. So all the car to eat, you must be aware if your glycogen stores are already topped up, you must burn them or you are designed to store them as fat. And there's another reason that is closely related to the fat point or cell point hypothesis, as we've learned today, is that leptin resistance, in fact, comes from high triglyceride levels. And if you are an avid listener of the Superhuman Radio Show, you will know that it's not the fat you consume, but rather the carbohydrate or the combination of high carbohydrate and high fat that spikes triglyceride levels. And this triglyceride actually prevents the leptin from entering your brain.
Ah.
It cannot cross the brain-blood barrier. This is at least one hypothesis for explaining the leptin resistance. So this is one reason why you want to eat a low-carb diet. Also on mouse pups, also in baby mice, it has been shown that if the normal milk is replaced by milk that is higher in carbohydrates, then they suffer from the same brain changes I have described before. So there is certain evidence that a high carbohydrate intake, a high carbohydrate intake, not any carbohydrate intake, is connected to these brain changes and predispositions you to obesity. And another crucial aspect of this lower nutrient-dense carbohydrate diet, and many people will now be reminded of the paleo style of eating, is that eating whole foods is also anti-inflammatory. And this is the second hypothesis for why you can become leptin resistant. That is, a high level of inflammation will prevent leptin from entering the brain. And this will, your body does not sense that he's fat, and thus he will not upregulate your metabolism, and you will not burn fat if leptin does not cross the blood-brain barrier. The next advice I'll give you is not really diet-related, but it's just to generally reduce your stress level, because stress is always a factor that plays big or has a big role or huge role in obesity. For example, throw away your cell phone, not because of the electromagnetic radiation, but at least my experience is that there are little or few things that are so stressing than being available 24/7. You need your time out, at least switch it out for a few hours of the day, but don't keep your phone next to your bed and let everybody wake you up in the middle of the night, because this is the next point. You really, really have to get 8 to 10 hours of sleep every night.
Yeah, this is so critical, and this is so overlooked by so many people.
Yeah, you're burning the fat in the night, and also you need to a high amount of melatonin release.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something else that people don't even pay attention to. You have a lot of insulin made at night because we're not nocturnal creatures. We make a lot of insulin at night, but more importantly, the suprachiasmatic nuclei, which is responsible for the circadian rhythm of the body, actually tunes up receptors so that the signals from hormones actually do their job. And
yes,
you can impair in just one poor night's sleep. As a matter of fact, I am so convinced of this, that you can impair insulin resistance in just one poor night's sleep, that when I don't sleep well, I fast for most of the next day because I know that I'm going to have episodes of hypo and hyperglycemia if I eat normally. And this has been shown scientifically. Sleep is so underrated. Anybody out there struggling with their weight, if you're not in bed by 9 o'clock every night and asleep by 10, don't complain to me that you're not losing weight because you're not doing what needs to be done.
Yes. That's exactly the point, and people do not recognize this. And it's also about quality sleep. So you do not want to sleep with the television switched on.
Bingo, right.
Or something like that. That's not sleeping in the way it's meant to be. Sleeping is when it's dark and when it's quiet. So I personally use these blinds you put before your eyes, and I use earplugs to have a really decent sleep. And these earplugs do not prevent me from waking up when my bell rings in the morning, because it's loud enough. So you do not have to be afraid that you cannot get to do your job. But it's a whole different sleep experience, I can tell you.
You know, I actually had to do that. The period of time where I was losing all my weight and I was living at home with my family and my ex-wife, and I used to actually put earplugs in and eye covers on and go to bed at 9 o'clock because people would come in and out of the room and they would, you know, do this and do that. And I actually, my kids used to tell me, they would say, oh, dad's in his apartment, meaning I had my earplugs in and my eye covers on, because I knew how critical sleep was to the process and the progress of losing weight. And
yeah,
I lost my weight in record time. I didn't really struggle very hard, but I did everything right that I could do right.
Yeah, I understand. And everybody ridicules you, and this is something you must live with.
Yeah.
If you are taking off your shirt and everybody sees your abs, then they say, whoa, how did you do that? Well, I sleep with my eyes blinded and earplugs.
Right.
Well, nobody will believe you. They think you do 200 sit-ups a day or whatever.
Right. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Well, the next thing is that you want to include adequate amount of protein, and as we've learned, you want to get enough leucine in every of your at least 3 meals a day. So I would like to recommend that you get at least 30 grams of high-quality protein within each meal, and high-quality protein is, Mike won't like this, but for me, normally it's a piece of meat or it's cheese or it's whey or it's whatever, but it's not the protein you find in let's say, a piece or... if you have isolated pea protein, that's okay. But if you just have a few peas, you don't count the protein that's in there. So you want one piece of each of your meal to be protein only, I would say, or almost exclusively, like a piece of meat or stuff like that. And it should be high quality protein, meaning that you have all the essential amino acids in it, and especially leucine. If you are eating a meal that does not contain these, you might consider adding BCAAs to it, as we heard in the episode with Vince Andrich. I think this might be a good idea, but in general, I would tend to avoid all supplements that give you additional nutrient content, but try to eat only real foods, because these things are satiating, and many people who are obese have real problems feeling satiety at the beginning of their diet. So if you are drinking, for example, protein shakes, everybody advises you to drink protein shakes because it's good for muscular development, and there's a study that showed additional whey protein made people slimmer, but that was the case because those guys, they did not eat a protein-rich diet in the beginning. So adding protein was beneficial, but if you're eating a natural diet with real food that is high in protein, you do not need these shakes.
Right, right.
They will only make you fat again, or they will at least hinder your weight loss because you consume additional calories. Protein will make you as fat as everything else because it will turn into glucose in your body and then will be stored in the fat tissue as triglycerides.
Okay. What about... I'm sorry.
Well, that's the protein point, and now the exercise point. Of course, you want to exercise. I cannot emphasize enough how important this is, and there's an interesting study that was done a few years ago where they put women on a calorically restricted diet, and one group, they just cut calories by 25%, and, of course, their metabolism slowed down. They lost weight. Well, no problem. But this is, of course, you are running the danger that you will have a rebound once you stop your diet because the body is or the metabolism is already downregulated. Then there was the other group. I repeat, the first group had a minus 25% caloric deficit. The second group had minus 12.5% from diet, and the rest, the other 12.5%, they were quote-unquote burning by doing exercise. And guess what? They lost exactly the same amount of weight, but they lost more body fat, and they had no downregulation of their metabolism at all.
Wow.
So this shows you how important it is to complement the change in nutrition with the change in the way you live by adding exercise and taking out your power blocks in the morning and exercising when you cannot go to the gym. Because exercising is really about consistency. And the type of exercise you want to do is rather weight exercises and high-intensity exercises or exercise training, especially if you have limited time. Then do this and skip the aerobics. Because this is the type of training where you have real metabolic changes going on. You get more free fat mass, you have improved mitochondrial function, and thus you're really priming your body to burn the body fat by doing weight exercises and by doing high-intensity training. The aerobics, there's interestingly some evidence that aerobics are better for burning that you are burning these intra-organ fat. What's it called in English?
Visceral fat.
Visceral fat, of right. course. Yeah. There's some evidence that aerobics might be better in burning that, but in general, you want to do high intensity exercises because you're priming your metabolism for calorie burning by building muscle, by optimizing muscle function. And aerobics can contribute to your exercise regime, for example, on off days. You can do, I count aerobics, for example, as having a brisk walk in the park or walking briskly to work or whatever. This is another factor. You want to include normal or regular movement within your everyday life.
People in the United States don't walk anywhere, Adele. They don't walk.
I understand that.
That's a very European phenomenon where cities are built so people can walk places. No one walks here.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Then I guess we'll have to get your girlfriend or boyfriend on a sunny day and just take a out for a walk or buy a dog and walk the dog.
There you go. Mike Mahler's always got dogs for that they're trying to donate, you know, give away, adopt on Facebook. Get in touch with Mike and get one of those dogs. Adele, we're coming to the end of the interview. We're actually going a little over. How much more do we have to cover?
There are two points. One I already addressed. That is, you want to diet down slowly and you do not want to expect too much. In the beginning, it is possible that you lose 1 to 2 pounds of body weight per week. But this will slow down very fast with most people unless you're really, really obese. So if you have a weight loss of about 2 pounds per month, this is already a success. And even if you are not losing weight, you do not want to look only at the scale, but you also want to measure use a measuring tape and take photos and do stuff like that
right.
to assess your progress, because sometimes you are just building muscle and losing fat, and the scale says, oh, you're getting fat and you feel fat, although you are effectively looking much better. And I have the experience that people recognize this only when they see photos, not by looking in the mirror. So taking photos would be a good idea to measure your success.
Yes, and put them on Facebook, because then you can't turn back and slide backwards, because people will be waiting to see more photos. So there you go.
Yeah, that's, of course, always a good idea, yeah, to go public or to participate
yes.
in the aforementioned contest.
Yeah. Yes, yes, very
that
good.
That would be a good idea. And the last point that is very dear to my heart and that relates to tomorrow's Buddy RX show is that you do not want to fall to the belief that you may never eat any carbohydrate again in your life. Because I've seen it too often that in the beginning, by just reducing carbs, people start to lose weight and they think, well, that's the magic pill. I will reduce my carb intake further and further and further, and suddenly they are leveling out. They are not losing any body weight anymore, and they are feeling sluggish, and as Mike already has said, they have no sex drive at all. And when this point comes about, it's almost every time that people are suddenly eating almost exclusively like 75% protein, 25% fat, no carbohydrates. If you do that, you are destined for failure.
Right.
This cannot work. It cannot work.
You know what it really comes down to? It comes down to the people have to, and I'm speaking from experience. It took me a decade to get over 300 pounds. This notion that we have that we should be able to lose it all in a year, year and a half, because the diet industry promotes these unrealistic short time spans for people to lose this kind of weight. And so we think, well, surely I should be able to lose 150 pounds in a year or a year and a half because so-and-so did or such-and-such did. And these are phenomenons when you look at those people. The reality is that it will probably take you at least half the time to lose the weight as it did for you to get fat if you were diligent and stick to it. If you're diligent and you stick to it.
You don't have the loads of clenbuterol all those celebrities are taking to lose the weight within weeks.
Yes. Well, there you go. We have to end the show now, Adele. I want to plug your website before we go. Is there anything else that you want to say briefly before we end the show?
Remember that you're not the biggest loser, but that you're going the leanest winner.
The leanest winner. I like that. If you want to read some of the most intelligent articles that you'll ever find on the internet, a lot of them are posted on my Facebook, go to Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. And Professor Dr. Andrew posts so many great studies there. It could be a magazine in and of itself. I predict it will be someday. Listen, Professor, I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming on the show today to share this information.
You're welcome.
And we'll have you back soon. And you and I will be working together tomorrow on the Body RX show, so everybody should tune in for that as well.
Yeah, because it really fits in the last point I made. No carb or low carb, what's the best method?
Yeah. I think that you have to alter. I think you can go no/low for a while, but very, very short time. Low is probably a better alternative. Sensible carbohydrate consumption. Sensible.
What? Maybe just one word. The more athletic you become, the more carbs you will need.
Yes, because you become more insulin sensitive as a result of the exercise.
Yes.
All right, well, that's it for today. And listen, you're going to want to listen to Casual Friday. We got a great show. Elisa Profumo has been working on a great show for you for Casual Friday. I know that she's a big fan of Professor Dr. Andrew. All right, you guys have a great day. We will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. So tune in then.